Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. My Chicago Sky won the WNBA title last night, Tony. Nothing can bring me down.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Okay, so I shouldn't mention Aaron Rodgers then, right?
You think, who's my favorite quarterback? You've known for years. Who? Tell me who my favorite quarterback is.
Well, your favorite quarterback outside of Chicago was Aaron Rodgers.
No, my favorite quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. I hate the cheeseheads.
I hate him because he's a cheesehead.
But I love Aaron Rodgers. He owns us.
Welcome to PTI Party, people. In today's episode, the Cowboys win again. The Dodgers drop two. And Aaron Rodgers, your boy, claims to own the Bears, your team. But we begin today with the Arizona Cardinals thoroughly beating the Cleveland Browns yesterday and the Baltimore Ravens doing the same to the Los Angeles Chargers. See, I didn't say San Diego. The Cardinals remain the NFL's only unbeaten team at 6-0, and the Ravens are 5-1. Wilbon, who had the more impressive win?
Tony, Baltimore was more dominant. You and I talked about this in live time yesterday when we were both just incredulous over the way the Ravens played and the way they are just sort of ramping it up. And so I'm not going against that, but the more impressive win to me, I give special points, more points, when you go on the road and win. And that's what Arizona was able to do. And were they as dominant? No. But, Tony, they also, you know, they were in control of the game if they weren't dominant. Right. And, Tony, I'll admit, you know, I've been in this sort of wait-and-see camp on Arizona. I root for them, but I keep waiting for them going, I don't know, are they for real, for real, for real? I think when you continue to do this, that old adage, and I said this today on your podcast, coach's adage, you win first, then you get good. Well, the Cardinals have won and won and won, and they're the only undefeated team in the league right now. And it seems like they're also getting good, Tony. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals while taking nothing away from Baltimore.
So my inclination is to also go with Arizona because they went on the road and they won. And they didn't even have their own coach. He has COVID.
That's right.
And they were missing a few players, so they didn't have all their own players. Let me just look at how dominating it was. The Kyler Murray as an ex-Oklahoma quarterback was more impressive than Baker Mayfield as an ex-Oklahoma quarterback.
Much more.
But the reason I'm not going with Arizona, as I told you this morning, is because I'm sick of Cleveland. I don't want to hear about Cleveland anymore as a Super Bowl team. They're not a Super Bowl team. Okay, they've given up 84 points in their last two games. Jarvis Landry doesn't play. Odell Beckham Jr. has become reduced like he's just some guy now. And Baker Mayfield's commercials are better than Baker Mayfield actually on that field. So I'm just tired of them. Baltimore beat a better team, I think. I think the Chargers are a better team. Now, I understand Baltimore was at home. I get that. And I understand that the Chargers were on a 10 a.m. body clock. I get that, too. But Baltimore really confused, it seemed to me, Justin Herbert. They ran for 187 yards. They went out there and they were a dominant team and they were doing it on a short week. I mean, I know they were home, but it was a short week for them.
Yeah.
I look at Baltimore now and I say, that doesn't mean I think Baltimore's better than Arizona. I think their win was more impressive the way they controlled the game and ran the ball. Because now we've seen them win by passing and running.
We know they can do it. Tony, I said to you the other day, at Friday, they'd be the number one team in my power index. But when you go on the road and you beat a team that has been talked up, I agree with you. They've been talked up, Cleveland, more than they play up.
They're a mythology. They're not a good team.
I spent 2 years ago, the season 2 years ago, ripping Cleveland every week, and you asked me to stop because I was so tired, not of Cleveland, but of the slurpage of Cleveland. This has been going on for a long time now, so we agree on that. But the Cardinals are really impressive to go on the road and get that without their head coach.
Mike, Yeah. I'm going to tell you this, though, Mike. Honestly, I believe that right now it is a harder path for Arizona, a team that's not been in the playoffs. It's a harder path for them to get to the Super Bowl than for Baltimore to get
maybe
to the Super
so.
Bowl.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Now.
Yeah, I could see that. Cowboys as the Patriots in overtime. Dak threw for 445 yards and 3 touchdowns before limping away after the game in that walking boot with a strained calf. The Patriots have now lost all 4 of their home games. Tony, is the headline from this that the Cowboys moved to 5-1 or that the Patriots dropped to 2-4?
The headline is the Cowboys. I'm going to use your word because it's a word you use with disgust, slurpage. There's been no slurpage in the history of football like there's slurpage on the Dallas Cowboys. And it happens on this network all the time and other networks. Total slurpage. They are irresponsibly overrated year after year after year. And I'm going to give you that, okay? But they're pretty good right now. Not great, but they're pretty good right now. Bill Parcells used to use a phrase, unprejudice yourself against what you're seeing. Because your eyes tell you something, but all your history says don't go there.
Right.
The Dallas Cowboys right now are good. They're a good team. Dak Prescott, we talk about Kyler Murray. We talk about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen as MVP candidates. I would add Tom Brady, but I would also add Dak Prescott. They threw for 445 against Bill Belichick yesterday. He's completing 73% of his passes. I got the numbers here. He's got 16 touchdowns and 4 picks. They stunk last year, Mike, and he's the reason they're a better team right now. That guy, Dak Prescott.
Tony, I agree. But the story is the Patriots are not – the Patriots were slurped preseason. And their new rookie quarterback, and this is totally irresponsible, was being compared at times by some people to Tom Brady, which, again, is irresponsible.
Crazy. Crazy.
And so, Tony, they're not a playoff team. They don't look anything like a playoff team.
No.
Dallas eked out a game over a team that's lost 4 straight at home. So how damn good do I need to make the Cowboys? I feel bad now because I feel like I'm Stephen A. on the Cowboys, and Marcus Spears is going to appear in my ear any moment to say, wait a minute, why are you hating on my squad? I'm not hating on the Cowboys, Tony. I got to see more. Because every year, as we get toward December, the Cowboys disappoint.
Yeah.
It's only October. I'm not going to crown them
yet. I agree with you. The reason I don't think it's the Patriots, though, is because the Patriots weren't any good last year. They're playing a rookie quarterback. Nobody wins with a rookie quarterback.
No.
It just doesn't happen. And, you know, yes, I know they've lost, you know, 4 straight home. What they do is they get close against good teams, but they don't win. And why? Because they lost the greatest quarterback in history. And you just can't replace that guy that quickly. Let us move to baseball. The Dodgers again blew the lead in Atlanta and again wound up losing in a walk-off. For some reason, they put their game 4 starter in game 2 to relieve Julio Urias, and he got tagged for 2 runs in 1 inning. They're down 0-2 to the Braves. Wilbon, are the defending champs in as much trouble as they look to be?
No, because they haven't played a home game yet. Not only do they have a pair of home games, they got 3 home games, you know, in a row in a 2-3-2-4 man. And they got Warrior God Scherzer, they got Urias, and they got Bueller. So, no. Right. I'm not ready to go crazy. Do you want to be 0-2 even if you're defending champs? No. But we've seen this in all manner of the team sports lately, Tony, in recent years where champions or you know, soon-to-be champions are down 3-1, 0-2, and teams have
come back
to win in those circumstances. So, no, with that pitching lined up, and I thought it was just stupid to use the Warrior God the way they used him last. I thought that was just dumb. There's just no point in using him on 3. Just stop. And the Dodgers seem to major in this. I think they can be okay if those guys' arms are healthy enough, if they haven't been betrayed by their own circumstance.
So I want to give the kids out there a quick history lesson, not ancient history, but just last year. The Dodgers were down 2-0 and 3-1 to the Braves in this very series last year, and they won. So then what would cause me to look at it in a different way? Well, a few things. Clayton Kershaw is on the DL. He's not going to come rescue them at any point. Max Muncy on the DL. A lot of home runs, a lot of RBIs, right? One other point I wanted to make, if you count the playoffs, the last 60 games the Braves have played, they are 41-19, and that is torrid. okay? The Braves are good, and they're winning in this series. Freddie Freeman's not even getting his bat on the ball, and they're winning in this series. I know what you're saying about the Dodgers being set up in Game 6 and 7 with Scherzer and Buehler, but you got to get there. Charlie Morton goes in Game 3. He's a good playoff pitcher. If they go down 3-0, they're not going to win. And, Mike, a small little statistic here. The Dodgers are 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position, which stinks. And the Braves throughout the playoffs so far, batting average against with runners in scoring position is 0.98, 4-for-41. And, Mike, that turns RISP into RSVP, see you around, because we're out of here now.
There's a reason why you fall in love with these numbers. I don't know what it is. You've been brainwashed.
Because I love numbers.
And I don't.
Because the numbers, math major in college.
Yeah, except,
wasn't
you know, I read your column for 40 years, and you never use numbers. But I'll let that go for another time. I don't believe in the numbers because they can change. They can change. They do change. They change all the time. Because I watch the RPI and the FPI, and it says on Tuesday, this team has a 99% chance of winning the playoffs.
That's right.
And then if they lose one game on Wednesday, it says they have a 74% chance. So all that's garbage, okay? I still, Tony, believe in the next day's pitching. But that's only if you use it properly, like it's supposed to be used, like those guys are accustomed to being used. So I'm not going to say the Dodgers in no peril. Because I don't even know who's determining what the pitching is.
They're
you know
in some peril. And by the way, thank you for mentioning RPI, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Thank you. My cousin Alan went there. Let's take a break. Coming up, the Jaguars finally won after 20 straight losses. But was the Raiders winning even more impressive?
I met Alan. Alan's that smart he went to RPI?
Went to
Did
RPI.
Aaron Rodgers say anything wrong when he proclaimed he owns the Bears? No, because he owns the Bears.
I think the hockey player Adam Oates, I think he also went to RPI.
Did he really?
I think so.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
It's mail time when we pretend you came up with issues that we were going to discuss anyway. Let me see what's
issues.
First.
Who's got issues?
Okay, more surprising win, the Jaguars or the Raiders?
You know, Tony, the Jaguars were impressive in that they got those two kicks. And that last one from 53 yards, I mean, that was as nice a draw. You and I would love to hit that off the tee.
Yeah.
I mean, and he hits that. I don't know if there's any weather there or not. But given that the Raiders had such a tumultuous week and they go on the road and they play just a blood rival, I mean, congratulations to Jacksonville for doing what they did. But it's hard for me, given what was confronting the Raiders players and how they had to rally themselves, I got to go with the Raiders at Denver.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that down the line. Jacksonville won in London, where they seem to play all the time and which confuses other teams. They beat Miami, a team that stinks, and they both have a 1-5 record. My reaction to that is, so what? And to emphasize what you're saying, The Urban Meyer mess was not nearly as volcanic as the John Gruden mess.
Mike, that's right.
I would not have bet a dime on the Raiders yesterday going on the road to a division rival. Not a dime. If somebody had said to me they're going to lose by 40, I would have said, yeah, they could lose by 40. So the fact that they won that game and looked good in that game, in truth, did surprise me. I don't know what's going to happen after this. They got the soft part of their schedule coming up. They got the Eagles and the Giants, and it's a time when they need it. But I was... Yes, it is the Raiders. The answer is the Raiders.
I had dinner in my confidence pool yesterday. Not double digits, but, you know, 7 or 8 points.
Any issue with Aaron Rodgers saying he owns the Bears?
No, and nobody listening should have any issue. I don't have an issue, all right? I don't have an issue. That's my hometown. I hate the Packers. I hate the Packers and the Cardinals. I hate the Cardinals and the Packers in that order. So, no, there's no issue. He's 22-5 in 27 starts against us. If anybody wants to have issue, let them have issue with themselves. That would be Bears ownership, Bears management, the Bears GM who can't find an offensive line after 6 years in the job, and the Bears head coach who's dreadful, okay? So they should have a problem. Don't have a problem with Aaron Rodgers. Have a problem with your own self and your incompetence.
So I find myself, again, agreeing down the line. There's an objective way to measure this. In fact, does Aaron Rodgers own the Packers? As you say, 22-5 over his career. 10-3 in Soldier Field. On the road in Chicago, 10-3. 57 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. And he says, and I love this quote, "All my bleeping life, I own you. I still own you." I don't know how you argue with that. And, Mike, last week when Aaron Rodgers said the one team he would never play for with the Bears, you applauded that because you thought that should be the spirit of somebody who plays in Green Bay. Not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, I believe the Packers are in Arizona. Could I interest you in watching that game? I mean, now that the Packers are 5-1 after that first one, could I interest you in that one?
Tony, if Aaron Rodgers on his off day on a Tuesday, if he walked into a restaurant or a bar anywhere in Chicago, people would salute him. They might even say, look, we hate you. Sit down and have dinner on us. We don't hate Aaron Rodgers. We hate the circumstances produced by our own top of the pyramid, which allow Aaron Rodgers to have that circumstance.
Enough email. Let's take one last break. But still to come, was Lions coach Dan Campbell right to publicly call out quarterback Jared Goff?
Oh, you mean the Detroit ship hasn't righted itself yet? And a few thoughts on the WNBA championship of my hometown, Chicago Sky.
Should I tell people that you called me or you wrote me and you didn't even know they were winning? You thought they were going to lose?
I knew what happened. I just thought I was worried we were going to lose down 16 in the fourth.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Monday Night Countdown in Nashville. Apparently, so is the whole city of Buffalo. It's a Bills Mafia invasion. They're having fun, and soon they'll be making their way over to Nissan Stadium tonight. It's a battle of AFC division leaders, Bills, Titans. The stars will be out tonight. Plus, we're wrapping up week 6. Monday Night Countdown, top of the hour.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, kids. Happy 46th birthday, Alex Cora. Cora's first year managing the Red Sox was 2018, and they won the World Series. He's back in the playoffs, and the Red Sox are even with Houston, 1-1 in the ALCS, after beating the Yankees and the Rays in previous rounds. The dirty little secret now is that as much as Fenway fans want to boo the Astros for cheating in 2017, it was Cora who was a coach on that team, and it was Cora who was fired by the Red Sox for the 2020 season for his part in that cheating. He's back now. He's doing great. Cora's playoff record as a manager is 16-5.
Tony, the only other manager to win 16 of his first 21 playoff games, you want to take a guess? Earl Weaver. No. Earl Weaver.
Wow.
1969-71 with the O's.
Hall of Fame, right? Earl Weaver, I'm pretty sure. Happy anniversary, Reggie Jackson. On this day 44 years ago, number 44 of the Yankees solidified his nickname of Mr. October by hitting three home runs off three different Dodger pitchers on three consecutive swings as the Yankees won Game 6 and the World Series. Watch as Reggie, who's wearing a batting helmet for self-protection in right field, makes like Bo Jackson, avoiding some would-be well-wishers and knocking others over in his haste to get to the safety of the dugout. On a personal note, I was at this game. That's as great a hitting performance as there ever was. Three home runs in a championship game.
Tony, to me, that game, as long ago as it was, it's the face of the World Series. It defines, in great part, the World Series. I'm sorry, this is right there with Ruth and anybody else who ever played baseball.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's like the exhibit A for me, that performance. Man, you were at that game. I'm jealous. That's one of those things I wish I had been there.
Yeah, I was at that one. I remember that. I'm certain about that. Huh. Happy trails, Phoenix Mercury. The Chicago Sky, led by hometown girl Candace Parker and DePaul grad Allie Quigley, came back from a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter to beat Phoenix and win the WNBA title yesterday. Wilbon actually texted me in the fourth quarter, and I quote, "Phoenix is going to win this game and force a game 5 back in the desert," unquote. He was so distraught, I got off of the red zone, and I went to the WNBA, where I saw in that moment Chicago celebrating its championship victory. Wilbon, why don't you take it from here?
I was distraught, Tony. I had way more invested in this than I had in Bears-Packers yesterday. And I told you that going in. And it's luckily that calm of Candace Parker was on the court taking those shots and grabbing those rebounds and blocking shots, and not me. This, you know, every city, most cities, maybe every city right now, needs a lift from the things that have gone on in the past couple of years. And yesterday, the Chicago Sky gave my hometown and Candace Parker's hometown, more importantly, that boost. I mean, that place was sold out. It was standing room only. People around the city were talking about it. I was there early in the day. I am beyond thrilled and over the moon at what those women were able to do, winning that championship with a 16-16 record. And I don't hate Phoenix. I usually root for Phoenix, but not yesterday, not this time.
Let me just say this again. You told me they were going to lose. I got
off
the red zone.
Terrified.
I tuned into this thing, and they're drinking champagne courtside, and they got hats
red
to say WNBA champions. All right?
Red zone.
Let's go
get
to the
it out
finish.
Of here. Let's do
Lions
it.
Head coach Dan Campbell says Jared Goff needs to step up. Do you agree?
I don't hear these small nuances with Detroit. They lost 34-11 to Cincinnati. They got the Rams next. Oh, my God. LSU beat Florida. Ed Orgeron out after this season. Your thoughts?
He won the national championship with one of the greatest teams I've ever seen. I think it was 2 years ago. In the SEC, they'll sell your house out from under you if they don't like what you're doing. They'll just sell it. Number two, Iowa, lost at home to unranked Purdue. Are you surprised?
No. Purdue was undervalued, and Iowa just sort of does this. I'm not picking on them. This happens seemingly every couple of years. Cam Newton says he's vaccinated, wants to play. You think somebody will give him a shot?
I actually do. There are 11 games left in this season. He can run the ball. He's a touchdown machine when he runs the ball. Somebody is going to need him. He's an experienced, good quarterback. Last one, Monday Night Football, Bills at Titans. Are you smelling upset?
Tony, this is actually a pretty darn good small market matchup. And I'm sniffing a little bit of upset out there.
Okay. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. Now to get you set for Monday Night Football, here, Susan Culver, the Countdown Crew.
Steve Fader, shout out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.